Last night, another man spoke to 90,000 people. Microphone.
Yes, we're back in America. Do I have to do the glasses again? Or I'm a cross-dresser, by the way. Okay. In a crazy world, we got to bring some sanity here. Or go with it. I don't know. If you hear the tape on that one, I'm in trouble. For those who hear the tape, I have a shirt on with Jesus on the, carrying the cross. Amen. And that's cross training, by the way. And that works. Justin's back from Ghana, so he's my laugh track. So I give him $1 a laugh. He's over there. Hey, listen. We're going to have fun tonight, maybe. You can hear it. You got your Bible. Go home and read it. Think about that. Last night, another man spoke. He's a Messiah figure, some are saying. He's going to take America back. He's 2 years younger than me. Not as good looking, though. I can outbench him, too. But you know what? With those 90,000 people at Denver who stood there, I don't think you're going to do that for me tonight. I don't want you to. You do it for Jesus. He stood there clapping for every tired cliche from the Democratic platform that he drug out, saying that, and I'm pleased to hear, that people who earn their wealth would be allowed, should not be allowed to keep it. Amazes me. We're going to tonight recognize that this meeting, in this tent, is where history is really being made. You represent what America's all about. This land was created by God for Christianity to thrive, for the eagle to protect Christianity from the devil, the dragon. And you few, you happy few, who come into this tent on this 35th family camp, you are really the reason this country was started. You might not know that, but it's true. And I would much rather come 12,000 miles from India and 12 time zones and fly to this place and be here to speak to you than to stand in front of 90,000 people as a future prospective president of this great land. If you don't believe that, please try to. This is much more important. It might not be as slick, and it certainly doesn't cost as much money. But it is the most important event happening today in America. And I had to say that because I get so disturbed about what's happening to our great country. I land in Seattle. The next morning, get up to go to IHOP for some breakfast. American breakfasts are good. I already gained 5 pounds since I got here. It's all muscle. But and I pick up the newspaper, free, and I start to read. And I read about 165 teams and 8 divisions coming together to have an all-American softball baseball tournament in Washington. And they're all there because they have a certain identity. And that identity is they're all homosexuals, lesbians, and transgender. Whatever that is. I'm going to ask God about how He created transgenders. I thought it was male and female, but they have it mixed up, or someone does. They were only together because of the perversion. And I wept with them. Sherry's like, don't read the newspaper at breakfast. The next morning, I read the newspaper again. And I won't even tell you about that, but it just drives me nuts. And I know it's just the media, but the media is leading people by the nose. And people believe what they read in print or see on the big boob tube. They didn't believe it. Why do you think they spend all that money on advertising? Now, I don't know what's going to happen at the Republican convention, but they're not going to save America either. Don't bet on it. I get to be the late night show, by the way. How many of you went to the movie at 9 o'clock? Stay awake. See, under this tent, I hope most of you know the gospel. I hope most of you are saved. Because I didn't come from India, honestly, to really teach you a lesson or to inform you. I didn't come to entertain you, even if you might be entertained by me. I came to ignite you, to inflame you, each one of you. That's why I came. See, God's best is there already for each one of you. You don't have to wait there. Go and take it. They're going to talk tonight about the blessing that God gave Abraham, and the whole world was blessed. The whole world was blessed. Now, this is a pretty vanilla meeting tonight. I was going to get a group up here to represent the heirs of Abraham. Somebody just got it. I'm not talking about ice cream. Next year, God willing, I'll bring my family up here and we'll stand up here and you'll see Indian and, you know, brown kids and weird white kids that have African fathers. And that's my family. And we'll get up here to try to represent the world because you guys can't. You're too vanilla. So now I'm just picking on you. But, you know, I'm honestly thinking I got to get a black guy up here and get an Indian type guy up here and an Oriental guy up here, and, well, this is Montana, so it's all right. Let that one rest. But we are spiritually Abraham's children, and it doesn't really matter what we look like on the outside. I don't really care, honestly. It's just kind of interesting. All right, that's the preliminary stuff. Praise the Lord. You know, I read a book while I was in the airplane, Air India, for 22 hours. And I'll never forget that. Or maybe I should forget that. And I was reading about Gandhi, the father of India. Man who's still high respect in India. 600 and some page book, and I needed it because they had Indian movies with high subtitles. They're horrible, but I had a book. And one thing about Gandhi that kind of got to me is during the great turmoil after the British left the country, or while they're leaving the country in 1947, the Muslims and the Hindus were at each other's throats in several cities. And in Calcutta, Gandhi went there and his heart was really burdened by the war that was occurring in what is today Pakistan and India when no one knows, but think 2 million people were murdered on both sides. So he went to Calcutta to stop that. And he knew that if he could not stop it, India had no future. India was finished. The British had warned the Indians, had told them it would happen. They didn't listen. They wanted independence at all costs. They wanted a socialist country. And Gandhi, though, did something that you have to recognize. He went there to Calcutta. He met the Muslim leaders. He met the Hindu leaders. And he said, I'm going to fast unto death. I'm going to fast until I die unless you leaders in your communities stop this violence. For the first couple of days, the violence went on. Hindu mobs went through the streets with all kinds of weapons, killing any Muslim they found. Muslims did the same. But something started to change as Gandhi's health weakened, as his blood pressure went down, as he began to die. He's 78 years old when he did this. It wasn't the first time he fasted, and it wasn't the first time he was in prison. And as he began to die, things changed. People began to listen to his health reports. Leaders began to come to the decayed old house he was staying in with no real protection there, in the worst suburb or area of the city where he could have been killed several times. And as his body life flickered out of him slowly, the people stopped killing each other and he stopped the violence by what he did. Tonight, I want to talk about the faith of Abraham, what he did. He didn't just think, he did. Sometimes we can delude ourselves that we have this attitude or we have the right doctrinal position. We believe in the new creation. Check it off on the box. You believe it? Yes, good. All right, you're in. But adopting the attitude that we can be like Christ, or believing that the new creation concept, that when we see, as Brother Mark brought out again tonight, the glory of the character of God in the face of Jesus Christ, to believe that, just to, well, listen, some of you young people are born into all this. You're no different than a Presbyterian or Methodist or Catholic or Hindu or Muslim if you're born into this. And so you, all right, I guess I'll go with that. You know, Mom and Dad went with that and, that's fine and all that. You've got to make it personal. And it's got to be something that's going to cost you and it's going to make you move and act in a different way. Like Abraham. It says in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, most of you know that passage. God appears to Abraham, his friend. Twice he's called his friend. Once in Isaiah, and he's also called his friend in another part. I just forgot where that was. But he's called his friend. And God talks to him and says, through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That's repeated by Paul in Galatians chapter 4. Now we're going to think about this. Why did God pick Abraham? What was special about Abraham? Abraham's faith is what's special. But that faith could be summarized as F-A-I-T-H. Following actively in trusting Him. Faith moves people to action if it's real faith. Abraham's faith caused a spiritual Big Bang. Well, the theory of the Big Bang, which is a theory that I don't buy into, of course, but is that, you know, there's an infinite density that exploded. There we go. And into stardust, and that stardust somehow coalesced into everything we see today. You're stardust. Coalesced stardust. Intelligent stardust. Am I right? Would that summarize the theory, sort of? It happened so quickly. Abraham's faith created a Big Bang. His heirs, God said, would number more than the stars. And they would not only number more than the stars, but they would be stars. Shining stars. More numerous than the stars and shining like stars. They would be real mega stars. Not a Mel Gibson or whoever. You're a son of Abraham if you're a Christian. Are there any Christians in the house? Amen. Are there any Christians in this house? Amen. Then you are a son of old Abe. Each one of you, no matter what you've done in the past, no matter how low you were, even if you come from Butte, or like my grandma from West Virginia, Lost Creek, West Virginia, just... Lost Creek, West Virginia. Or Petersburg, Ohio, my grandpa. It don't matter. If you have the faith of Abraham, you're a son of Abraham. And if you're a son of Abraham, you are a megastar. You need to have your picture on the cereal boxes. You need to be on TV. If TV was filming wasn't battered. You need to be recognizing this fact. If we share his faith, we too will impact the world because we too, like Abraham, by our faith, will generate more children, more heirs. Not hairs. Forget that if you're older. But heirs. And these heirs, according to Romans, inherit the world. So it says in Romans 4. Let's turn to there. It says... in verse 13, for the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. faith makes you an heir of the world. Now, I think an heir means an owner. Anything and everything good of this planet, every beautiful rainbow and beautiful baby smile and majestic mountain and wide ocean that are all physical representations of God's creative power and glory, as we heard about, all that in its true reality, as C.S. Lewis has pointed out in several books, that belongs to you. What this world symbolizes, the goodness of it, belongs to you. Matter of fact, more than that belongs to you. The maker of it all belongs to you. Christ is to be summarized as the all in all. Turn to Galatians, please. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. We'll start in verse 6. Even so Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. All of them. I just came from India, as Brother Steve said. 12 time zones away. India alone, the city I was in, several million. Kerala, 20 million. India, 1 billion. Flying across, I flew down across parts of the world I'd never been across. Iran and deserts. Turkey, the Mediterranean Ocean, which is a lot bigger than I thought it was looking at the map. I looked out the airplane window and I couldn't see any end of it. No wonder there are big storms that could kill Paul if God had allowed it. Big ocean. Lots of places. Whole earth. We are the heirs. According to Scripture. If we have the faith of Abraham. It's awesome to think about. It says in verse 9, Galatians 3, so then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. And I said earlier, that blessing, the very best of God, is already yours in Jesus Christ. By default, because you're in Jesus Christ, it's yours as a gift. It's gratis. You don't have to pay anything for it. You've got it already. The moment you came by faith to be immersed into Christ, just take it. As you sit there in your chair tonight, I want you to take it. Every one of you. Take the best. By faith. By faith. Romans 4:18. Romans 4:18. In hope against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations. The emphasis there is on many nations. According to that which has been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Do you realize when you read your Bible and you read about the ministry of Abraham, or you read about Jesus or the apostles even, that they basically are limited to the Mediterranean world? What is that proportion compared to the Pacific Ocean? United States of America and Canada, Northern America, South America, Africa. You can take three United States of America and put them into Africa, continental United States. Abraham and these guys, you know, geographically are confined to such a small, small area. You know, I'm reading the first, Second Chronicles again. The events that transpired there that are so interesting, you've got, you know, it's nothing, a pinpoint on the map compared to God's plan that all the nations would be blessed. Everybody. No man, no nation left behind from this blessing. Everybody gets a chance. Everybody gets their dibs on it. All they need is a little faith. Like a mustard seed. Not even a big hunkin' pile of faith. Just a little tiny, itsy-bitsy, real faith. And they get to be part of this big deal. This huge deal. So what was special about Abraham? Because faith is huge. Two things I want to pick up on. First of all, Abraham left his home. I think the mark of the beast, Revelation 13 and other places, the mark of the beast, in my opinion, is man's desire for security offered by governments. You accept our terms, we'll keep you prosperous and safe. But if you don't, watch out. And today, the means to that end has become worldwide, often higher education. And if you don't follow that path in India, I know, in Africa, I know, and I think in America, you're consigned to be a ditch digger and a truck driver or whatever, and be poor. And so, the question I have is, will the security that we look for be in higher education or in Christ? Not that I'm against higher education, if we use it and it doesn't use us. We use the world doesn't use us. Abraham left what we would consider his security. Is it a sin to be a homeowner? No way. But it isn't an idol when home ownership keeps us stuck at one place when the salt needs to get out of the salt shaker. Do you, in this tent, recognize that most of you who've been in Christ and been under the tutelage of Brother Jay and men that he's trained, do you recognize that you know more than millions of people out there? That they're in darkness, the Bible will say, and the only hope they have, as I preached a while back, is someone goes and preaches to them and they're sent out. Why would we keep all that salt in the salt shaker? If our desire for retirement benefits keep us from spending ourselves and money and resources now to do what now lies before us to win another soul, it is something wrong. You see, Abraham left home ownership, left what we could consider normal means of security, and lived in tents the rest of his life after he left Ur and Haran and went on. And the only territory he owned in Palestine was a plot of earth that he'd be buried in. So if you can go ahead and own a burial plot if you want to. But you know, when I die, let them take care of it. I'm out of here. They can throw my body in a ravine. I don't really care. The health officials might care. How many of you have gone and lived in tents? We were in Kokomo country a few months ago, and we got in our tents, and we got out of our tents because we were on a ridge, and a lightning storm came, and there was a lightning stroke every 2 seconds. Travis and I, sitting in the front seat with a front seat view, counted them and thought about our eternity quite a few times. When it storms in the tropics, buddy, it storms, and we were in front and center. Tent living means that you're willing to give up whatever might hold you to this stinking earth and be willing to move out and go wherever God sends you, no matter how much it might seem to cost you, if you can win one more soul. One more soul. We don't have the right to sit in rocking chairs and relax now. That comes in heaven. I got one of those rocking chairs they have at Cracker Barrel. I got one in heaven with a big screen TV in front of it. Not yet! Then, in heaven, our security is in Christ, period. The New Testament saints gave it up. Those Olympic athletes, we expected them when they got out there for the United States of America to run and leave nothing behind, right? Give it all up. Well, we've got to give it all up on this earth to serve King Jesus. Now, if you want to own a home as a clever plan to be able to do more for God, go ahead. God gives you wisdom for a reason. But I'm telling you, brethren, Abraham was chosen to be the guy who caused that big spiritual big bang because he was willing to get up and leave his home. And you know what it says in Hebrews? He didn't know where he's going. It says it. Have you ever followed someone and you didn't know where he's taking you? I have. First year or two, I said, you have messed up my whole life. And you know what I tell everybody in Ghana? I tell everybody that follows my leadership, it's my duty to complicate your lives. And I mean it too. I'm not joking. My job to complicate their lives. If you were one of the apostles of Jesus, where are we going now? I don't know. I tried to ask him, but he's just marching. We better just march on behind him. He's going back to Jerusalem? Hello? He's trying to kill us over there. That's where he's going. All right. Well, I'll die with him. Right. I like it when you read your Bible because you get those things. Abraham left his home. I have to ask myself, you know, I'm going to be 50 soon. That's real young to some of you. Others, it's really old. Depends on your perspective. I tell you what, I'm praying to God that I will not become a wimp as I get older. I got to have, you know, all the comforts. I got my little pillow and my little bed and my, you know, these guys with their big RVs. I hope there's none out there. Sorry if you're, you know, with their lazy boys in them and their hot showers. Well, good for you. That's great, you know. 25 Africans could live for a lifetime on that thing, but anyhow. You got to be right to give it up. Just give it up. If it's a stumbling block, put it in drive, get out of it, put a brick on the accelerator and let it go off the cliff. And praise the Lord when you're doing it. What's the other thing Abraham did? He gave up his son. Now first you've got to have a son to give up. So get married. If you're an anti-marriage person, I want to talk to you later. And if anybody knows my reputation, I'm pretty good at getting people married. I'm 27 years of marriage. I'm pretty happy about it. Okay? You know? But the fact is, we need to give up our kids for Christ. To the fires. To the crosses. To the caves. The biggest struggle I'm having in Ghana with the older converts that I've made for Christ is they're not willing to give up their kids to Christian education because there's no future because the school's not accredited by the government. They're, you see them like deer with in the headlights when I try to explain to them, Stephen, what I'm talking about, that Christ will take care of the future. He owns the future. He already went there. There's no worry about the future when you're in Christ. The Proverb 31 woman represents the church. What was she doing about the future? Laughing. Laughing. And I've had people just this week when they started a school back in Ghana. And a little guy, 13 years old, we've been working with him for 7 years. He's starting to make progress. His relatives took him out of the school, paid money. They never gave us any money. Paid money to put him in another school that's accredited. Because there's no future in our school, despite the fact that we have really great graduates who are doing great things for God. They can't even see that. They can't hear it. We've got people pounding tables, angry at some of our graduates because they're going to put their kids in a Christian school. I'm telling you, it's a war between darkness and light. Because you see, the fact is, we're going to have to be willing to trust God for our children's future under the radar. You want to be a doctor? We heard some things about being a doctor and trying to practice your profession in Christ. There's going to come a time when you can't be a doctor in this country because if you don't do the abortion, you don't do what your conscience doesn't let you do, you won't be able to practice here. It's coming quick. So you want your kids to be doctors? How about the military? You want to get in the military and serve under Obama or whoever? Brethren, the church is going to have to fly low under the radar and have faith in God to provide us the jobs or dig up gold in our backyard or eat the cow that we grow in our backyard or whatever. We're going to have to get some faith here, brethren. Some faith. Our God can take care of us. I can give you testimonies. I've had a tooth that was done in New York City by a Ghanaian and finished by an Albanian Muslim. Ghanaian dentist said, don't worry about paying. We gave him some money anyway. My wife's a generous person. I would have given him nothing. But we got to Albania and the guy did $90 for a crown. How many of you can pay $90 for a crown over here? Did I know that happened? My wife got knee surgery, $400 for a knee. How much is it here for arthroscopy on a knee? Did I know that stuff would happen when we sent our kid to India, Rebecca? What's people's big bugaboo here about their future? Their health. Their health. Health care. Let me die in my bed of cancer rather than mortgage my spiritual future by not willing to release funds for saving souls because I have to put it into my health. God took care of them in the first century. He can take care of them in the 21st century. Amen? I'm not against health care. Don't get me wrong. I have insurance. Oh, you hypocrite. But I've lived without insurance, as some of you have. And I'm willing to go without it again if there's a choice between running a Christian school or sending another African kid to school and getting my health insurance. It's going to come down to that, brothers. That's why they do stem cell research. Because old guys want to live longer. So let's butcher the little babies. That's all it is. I want to live longer. Butcher the little babies. Find a cure for my disease now before I die. I'm going to die anyway in 3 years, but I want to live for 4 years. people's fear of the future, people's desire for security, people can desire to have their kids be successful in this earth. You know why most people don't like Christian education back east? Because the kids can't be on the football team and little Sally can't be a pom-pom girl. It is right. I played football. I was a linebacker, man. I went to the prom. You want to deprive my little Sally of all that fun? Getting drunk. Oh, I forgot that part. Smoking up that dope and getting... Oh, but let's forget that part. Oh, the all-American way. Let your kids be nerds for Jesus. Let them be hated by their fellow neighbors if necessary. Who cares? I tell you, on Judgment Day, the only thing that matters is whether in Christ or not. It's an idol. Oh, it is. American idols. There's more than the one on the TV. Will you eat also than be Abraham's? Will we sell our homes? Will we, like Barnabas, give up our property? Will we send our sons, SOS, send our sons, so that all the nations will likewise be blessed? I've covered most of this in my notes, just checking. Will we be like the man who stopped for the Samaritan? The Samaritan stopped for the man, sorry. Or are we going to walk on by a bleeding, dying world? And I saw them in Butte yesterday. Guns, drugs, homosexuality, prison, hate. Sweet 15-year-old, 17-year-old kids in high school living in the jungle in Butte. My daughter-in-law Brittany's brother shot in the head and the heart. Oklahoma City, they're out there. They're out there. Are we going to walk on by because we're afraid? We're a bunch of girly men, cowards, with weak knees, watery hearts? I hope not. We're going to be like Abraham. We're going to be like Abraham. We're going to sacrifice our day for someone's eternity, for someone's eternal tomorrow. The Samaritan, he had a business plan. He had some money, he had things packed up, he had an agenda, go point A to point, go this town, go down here. And he stopped his plans for the day, messed up his plans to save that person from armed robbers at his own personal risk. He didn't walk on by like the two religious guys. He was one who was not considered in that society very well because of prejudice. See, Abraham did. And he saved the world. His faith in God's provision sustained him. Why? Because he wasn't good looking to get it here and now. Boy, I'm glad I'm one of the first speakers, because I'm losing my voice, but I'll be okay. You know, if you go to Hebrews 11:8, it tells you the motivation that Abraham had. It's the only motivation that counts. Some of you guys came to India. You saw the rats and the garbage on the street. You smelled the smells. You were hemmed in by the walls. And I bet, and honestly, Steve Compton, is he here in the house? He'll be here, or he can't come. Well, his daughter's here. She knows what I'm talking about. You know, honestly, Matt's here. You guys, if they're honest, they wouldn't want to live there for a week, except for Christ. Matt said today, he told me, Steve Doty can maybe identify with this. He said, Jeff, I didn't say it there, but I don't like Indian food. He lost 8 pounds in 1 week. I just called him a wimp. But I don't like it either, though. Rebecca takes good care of me. But Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. See, he saluted and executed. He went out to place which he's received for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he's going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For verse 10 says, he was looking for the city which has the foundations, whose architect and builder is God. I've been to New York, I've been to Bombay, I've been to Paris, this is a city that counts. Bozeman, number two destination of choice for retirees in America, I heard. Is that true? What a joke. Wait till the first blizzard gets here, It's heaven! Heaven! I didn't come here to entertain you, but I lied. It just comes natural. Benoit and Rebecca, every time they came to hear me preach in Kumasi, they'd say, "Dad, we brought the popcorn. Give us a show." I just glare at them, but they were right, you know. Ours is not the reason why, but ours is but to do and die. Abraham just went out. He tented, as I said. He camped out. He never owned anything. By the way, every great Abraham, ladies, needs a great Sarah. It's not all about you, girls. It's about Jesus. My wife is a warrior. She's a warrior. She went with me to India. 7 weeks infection in her lungs. Bronchial infection. 3 or 4 antibiotics, I forget. 2 doctors. Both teeth infected for 5 months. Didn't get them done because in Ghana you don't want to see a dentist. Tell you stories. They're true. And 2 knees that the bone's rubbing on bone. And some of you have that. It hurts every minute. And she's with the grandkids smiling. She's come to every assembly, sitting there, taking notes, teaching 2 classes on short notice, helping Rebecca cook and serve 35 people in the house. She's a warrior. I love her. She can outbench most of you guys. Not that that counts. Except to me. See, it talks about Sarah there in Hebrews. By faith, she conceived. Sarah had faith, okay? From behind every great man is a great woman. We need you, Sarah, to step it up. And go with your man wherever he says, wherever the Lord's leading. And don't ask a bunch of questions, but salute and you execute, ladies. Sarahs, do we have any Sarah's daughters in the house? Not just Abraham's sons. We're all sons in a sense, really. That's what it says in verse 11. By faith, even Abraham herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time. Any of you think about being 90 years old or so and getting pregnant? It's weird, oh. It weirds me out to think about it. That's what we do in Ghana. If anything's really important, you say, oh, like big O, strong O. It was weird, oh, that this old lady, it's just too far. But that's why in hope against hope, Abraham believed. And then it was credited to him as righteousness. Amen? When you go to Butte, you need that kind of hope against hope. Don't some of you guys who live there know what I'm talking about? There's so much going on there that's so negative. But in that, God can work and bring out diamonds. Diamonds in the rough. But that rough can be taken off by Christ. And shining they can be. First Peter 3. What's it say there? We have gender equality when it comes to faith. 1 Peter 3. Verse 6. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you become her children if you do what's right. See what I'm... Did you hear that part? Faith is not a mental ascent. Faith isn't even a good attitude. They have that at McDonald's. Can I help you? Well, it used to be that way. I don't know. Now it's... You can't understand what they're saying because it's a different language. But they still have a good attitude. But see, she was a child of... Sarah says, you're her child if you do what's right without being frightened by any fear. Are you girly girls or manly girls or what is it? Think about it. This lady passed herself off as a sister to Abraham. She was a half-sister, so it was a half-lie. But she passed her off as a sister twice to save himself from maybe being killed by 2 kings. That's a lot of saying Lord. You want me to do it again? Didn't God teach you anything, husband? Okay, we'll do it again. Again, if you read your Bible, you know what I'm talking about. That's why you're laughing. If you didn't read your Bible, you're going, what? She did that. Nevertheless, Abraham is the chief protagonist in God's panoramic display of the power and glory of man's faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. James chapter 2:21. Again, James says, Abraham, our father. Are you his kid? Abraham's faith is not a commodity that we can purchase. It's not, like I said, a certain attitude that we can just adopt. Abraham's faith explains his life's choices, his obedience to God. You know, Abraham unselfishly gave Lot the choice of property or land to live in. And then later on, because he was a warrior, he went out and bailed Lot out when he was taken captive by five kings. And he had 319 loyal men who would go with him against five kings. Pretty awesome guy he was. Jacob said, with this bow I've taken this land. I think he learned to use the bow from Abraham. These guys, Abraham was a man with a warrior spirit. Abraham was a great man. No wonder God caught him. Imitators of Abraham's faith will have to emulate his actions. Imitate by emulating his actions. Or his works derived from his faith. Will we take our son like he did? Think about that for a minute. Will you take a son and let him die with a good attitude? Will you do that, Steve? Will you do that, Luke? You guys, how many of you, if you have a son, lift him up for everybody to see. If you have one, if he's sleeping, don't lift him up. There's a son. Anybody else have a son? Lift your son up. But you know what? I was talking to Matt, but I won't steal your point here, but, well, maybe I will, but. How much do I like you? You came to India, okay. But think about that for a minute, and I think he'll cover that later. It is awesome to think about. In a very real way, Abraham got to be like God and watch his son, you know, in his mind, have his throat slit. But he believed that he would be resurrected from the dead. Now you got to ask yourself right now, Christian, who has the Holy Spirit, who knows Jesus, who has a greater covenant, greater knowledge, where are you at compared to that today? Where am I at? Brethren, we've got to learn to love the lost first. And then love each other, no matter what. A tough enduring, beyond all reason. No holds barred. Gold medal, first place gold medal love. That keeps on loving, persevering and loving. Concentrated, deep concern for the soul's salvation, the growth by edification in Christ's likeness. Abraham's sons will willingly go out. And will generously give, will always obey unwaveringly against all hope, because they trust in their great God, not in their awful circumstances. They will be like Moses also. I want to just throw him in there. You know, Moses was a great man, 80 years old when he started his ministry. When most people want to retire, he just got going. He and Abraham, because Abraham did his big stuff when he's old. The sacrifice he's supposed to offer of Isaac. The conception of his son before that. Abraham does big stuff when he's old. See, these guys were never too anything. Never too tired. Never too old. Never too late. Never too poor. Never too few. Never too weak. Never too. They were never too anything. Abraham was one of a kind in his time among his generation. But each Christian, each new creation is to be a kind of the one, Jesus Christ. Got that? Abraham was one of a kind, but we are to be a kind of the one. It's called the law of reproduction, like bears like. Now, we could say that Abraham and Moses were truly golden oldies. Their motto was, never too old for anything. Or, Life begins at 80. Retirement, not in their vocabulary. What would happen today, brethren, if all the retired preachers out there, unretired, and gave the last 10, 15 years of their life to the Lord Jesus Christ with every ounce in their body instead of riding RVs up and down to Alaska? I'm just getting started when I hit 70. May my zeal no respite know. May my tears forever flow. Retirement was not in their vocabulary. I mean, Abraham's doing elite commando-like operations when he rescued Lot. He's taken three-day treks to sacrifice his son. Or going back for a preaching tour where the most wanted posters were still in the post offices. That's Egypt, by the way, if you didn't get that one. Going back there. Like Jesus heading for Jerusalem. No problemo was their attitude. Well, it was. Okay, Moses had a few faith issues and God answered those. And we need ours answered too. But once they were answered, he did go. And he's a humble man, so he continually needed the help of the Lord. But he powered through and did it, didn't he? That's why Abraham has the post, the position as number one original father of all the faithful. He is a hero. And in a real sense, he earned it. If we don't imitate his faith, let's shut our mouths. I've heard it in this tent, and I've said it. The power of the Holy Spirit and the faith of Abraham. But that faith of Abraham has got to be real. You know, often in the States, and I've had it happen to me, we put our heroes up, you know, like Michael Phelps or whatever. We put them up on the Wheaties box, we put them up on the pedestal, and we worship them. But that's not what God wants. He wants each one of us as a mighty army of brethren serving together, each of us to be a hero. Each of us to equally be a son. We're even told by many people that claim to know and abide in Jesus that He was special because He was God's Son. He had an edge. But 1 John 2:6 says that those who claim to know Him and abide in Him will walk in the same manner as He walked. This means that we'll love as Jesus loved. It means that we'll have confidence then on J-Day, as it says in 1 John 4:17, that when He appears, we are what? We are like Him in the world. Actually, we're like Him now. And that gives us confidence when He appears. 1 John 3:2, I wanted to say, we shall be like Him. Do you have that confidence that Jesus appeared over this tent tonight? And we won't need these lights anymore. Do you have confidence that when that day comes, you already, 1 John 4:17, are like Jesus in this world? Or you sit there mulling over what you can't do or what you used to be? Don't fall in that trap, brethren. This is real. Like bears like. Therefore, like Abraham, we too will bless all the nations. Because our faith will lead us to first mentally and spiritually, like in Pilgrim's Progress, to go out of our culture. To go out of the physical city and culture and mess that we're in. To mentally go out of that first and then bring others with us. To follow our Master, to seek and save the lost. To go out of our local Ur, or like Moses out of Egypt, into the abundant living by happily dying daily and living sacrifices. Brethren, in America we've gone from a Protestant work ethic to playboy culture. And it's invasive and enticing. It's a Babylon. It's a Sodom of the Bible. The security and the fun of the world. It's promoted everywhere. Have we left our own American dreams for the city above? The city not built by human hands that Moses looked for and despised all the treasures of Egypt for the reproach of Christ. Brethren, will we give up retirement policies, early retirements, home ownership, health care insurance, dual car ownership, big screen TVs, new clothes, new bigger toys for bigger boys? Bigger boys because they have too much food. Supersized boys. Excuse me, but brethren, we have so much that we don't need. Plastic surgery, motorcycles, guns, snowmobiles, hang gliders, stamping addictions, other hobbies. Weightlifting addictions. I'll throw myself in there. Don't take me wrong. We're all in there, this picture. Are you in the picture? Yeah. Will we just not let anything waste our time to keep us from memory work, Bible studies, and working with people individually to make them disciples? I've been memorizing Romans 16, and Paul commends Mary, and he commends Andronicus and Janea, and so many people for their work. Just check it out. Not for their play, not for their words, but for their work. We are a playboy culture, and we're playing our way to hell as a nation. Why don't we learn to make the Lord's work like Jesus said when he was with the woman at the well in John chapter 4? Disciples come back with some food, a picnic or something with them, and he says, "Don't worry about me, boys." What did he tell them? My food is to do the will of the Father. I really think he meant it. I think it's just a put on. Why don't we make the Lord's work our fun? And make our play His work. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and the work of the Lord is our joy. Amen? Abraham was a leader, great leader. He's a great follower too. He's a great father. Great father. He's a great husband. We too can even be better than that because we have the blessing of Abraham. We have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, His own Holy Spirit dwelling within our bodies. How much more then if we will live by the same unquestioning trust in the same faithful God, can we do the greater things so that all the peoples of the earth can be blessed? You know so much if you know Christ and have a Bible and can read it and have been taught. People are waiting for us to teach them. Your neighbors, your old schoolmates. You know this. The Holy Spirit, actual indwelling, this great promise that was made to Abraham, that through him all the nations will be blessed, and that particular blessing would be Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, living in them as the Spirit of God, to be particular about it. That great promise is only for those who have the great purpose of Christ. In 1 Timothy 3:16, Paul talks about the great mystery of Godlikeness, which is Christlikeness, which is perfectly having the image of God. It's called mega mysterion in Greek. Mega mysterion. That great mega mysterion, that great promise that all people get their dibs on, everybody gets that if they want it, is just to have faith, obedient faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that faith will include the obedience of Abraham. He marched when God said marched, and gave up his son when he said give him up. It's not just a mental assent. As we said before, how are they going to hear if you don't preach? And how are they preach if we don't send them? The faithful church like Abraham goes out. The faithful church like Abraham gives up their children to bring the blessing of Abraham to the nations. There is no other way. Do we really have the faith of Abraham? Are all the nations of the earth really being blessed through us? Brethren, yes, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing young men like Christopher Renner going to Philippines, going to Ghana. I'm seeing older men like Steve Compton leaving his beautiful valley in Montana for the first time to go to India, which is, it's a long ways away. I think 14 time zones or something. I see Mikhail, Brother Jay, and Brother Gary going to Ghana, Philippines. Brother Reese Thomas is here again, sharing. It's happening. Get in on it. It's life. It's blessing. It's where the action is. Get moving. Get out for the gospel. You don't have to know all the details of what's going to happen when you go. And you don't even have to know exactly the outcome. Just trust God. He's with us always, even to the end of the age. Amen.